John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This far desire that we read in our first reading this afternoon with the help of our Lord. And now let us worship our Heavenly Father with prayer and thanksgiving. God, our Heavenly Father, from the peaks of the heavenly glory, from the mansions on high, Thou hast sent Thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be the message of the truth, the living gospel, walking upon the face of this earth, to proclaim the truth and fulfill the prophecies of old, the desire of all ages, the Savior of the mankind. In him, O Heavenly Father, Thou hast revealed to us Thy holy face. To him Thou hast given that work for our salvation. And after he hath declared that truth, the message from heaven, Thou hast laid upon him the heavy load of our sins, that in himself he would experience Thy judgment, that we might be released from the punishment that we have deserved. And so, from the highest of the high places, O Lord Jesus Christ, Thou hast descended to the bottom of bottomless. And in that agony of everlasting death, Thou hast redeemed us. And so, Lord God Almighty, Thou hast given to us the bread of heaven and the true wine to sanctify our souls for a faithful service here on the face of this earth, and for the glories, everlasting glories, over there in the mansions on high. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we have no words to thank Thee
for that bread of heaven which thou hast given us in Christ. That true bread of heaven that giveth life to us, even though we have deserved death. Life to the dead, and hope to the hopeless, strength to the weak, and wisdom to the ignorant. Thou hast given us, O Heavenly Father, that spiritual bread from heaven, that as we read that same message which thou hast proclaimed in Christ, that we might receive the faith from thee, and that through that faith, O Lord God Almighty, we may be eating of that bread of life, that we also may have life within us. Gracious Lord, as we are now looking into the lines of the Holy Scripture, as we are now, Heavenly Father, with a desire from an open heart, reading the words of life, thou grant us thy new revelation, new understanding of thy holy word, that we may truly be nourished, that our inner man, the new man whom thou hast created by the Spirit of life, the Spirit of Christ, that that man may grow in faith and mature in thy spirit and be united in the Spirit of Christ with all that are thine. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, all the prophets have declared thy holy word. All the faithful ones have revealed the message that they have received from thee, O Lord. But when thou hast come, the true message was unfolding with every step of thy pilgrimage, being revealed with every word of thy mouth, for thou art the fulfillment of all prophecies. Gracious Lord, today, as thy people gather around thy holy word, may that bread of life give new life, new strength, new revelation to all that seek. Thou, Heavenly Father, unite thy children in that perfect harmony, in that true unity, in the spirit of peace and joy, spirit of love and zeal, spirit of judgment and mercy, spirit of life, new life in Christ. Gracious Lord, we pray that thou reveal to us this word of thine, and that thy goodness and grace be not limited by the weakness of thy weak servant. And as we read and as we share from the Holy Scripture, thy Spirit may fill our hearts and minds, that we be not like the Hebrews that turned away, but that we cleave to this holy word of thine and become true followers of the Savior. That we be not like those that were seeking sign according to their own imagination and their own design. That we worship thee in spirit and in truth, that thou wouldst in thy grace make us a sign and a living testimony. Oh, what thy grace can make from sinners. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank thee for thy blessed word. We praise thee, Lord, for the hymns of Zion, for the praises of thy children that are ringing between these walls since the early morning hour, for the prayers and for the thanksgiving, O Lord, that thou by thy Spirit hast placed into our hearts and guided through our lips. We thank thee, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, for thy corrections, thy instructions, and for the many difficulties that thou hast allowed to come our way to keep us from pride and carelessness. And yet we pray, O Heavenly Father, that we always come to thee with a new desire and new fervor in our prayers and praises, that with a humble heart we may walk before thee, and that thy testimony may sound forth not only between these walls, but also wherever thou art leading us. Let every step of our pilgrimage be a testimony. Let every deed of our hands be a witness that still it is the day of mercy, the day of grace, and that the day of judgment is coming. Gracious Lord, save the lost, heal the sick, raise the dead, and strengthen the weak, comfort the sad, encourage those that are in distress, and deliver those that are oppressed. May that Spirit of thine, Spirit of goodness and grace, Spirit of power and government, destroy the works of darkness, defeat thou the enemy, reveal the beauty of thy gospel, the beauty of thy holiness, the wisdom of thy teaching, the power of thy truth, O Lord. Thou exalt the name of the Savior. May the number of those that thou art feeding with this bread of life be full and complete. Let none be too late. So, in Christ, thy Holy Son, in Christ our blessed Redeemer, may thy name be worshipped and praised, honored and glorified forever. Amen.
In our second reading, beloved, let us read from the same chapter, Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, starting with the verse number 44 to the verse number 58. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Forever. This far it is in our second reading. As we can see, beloved, in these words, that some of the disciples of the Lord felt that this is too strong or too heavy a sermon for the Hebrews, for the Jews, that talked to our Lord and Savior and were apparently, or at least according to their words, lingering between believing and supporting the gospel and opposing and persecuting the gospel. It seemed to me, beloved, that most of those that are in between fall on the side of the enemy. And sometimes we can see that even those that are in the very hands of the evil spirit in his power are snatched out by the grace of God. This whole sermon, this whole conversation of the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ were not very gentle for those that are not wholeheartedly his own. In this same chapter, some of the preceding verses that we have not read yet, for example, verse 24 and on, we can find
The people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples. They also took shipping, boats, ships, and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now in another place we find that a man who was a father, came with his son and was pleading, begging for healing of his son. And the Lord said to that man, if ye see not miracles, ye don't believe. Now here the Lord says, ye seek me not because ye saw miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. It might appear, or at least seem to be, the case that in one place the Lord is against people seeking miracles, and in this place he is supporting or encouraging the people to follow him because of his miracles. Well, actually, in the other place he says he believes not until he sees miracles. The Lord is encouraging one miracle, the miracle of faith, the belief. Encouraging those that hear the word of God to believe the word of God and not to try to modify it, but to try to understand it and receive it, accept it. And the next verse here, verse 27, says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. How shall we understand this? Perhaps, if not always, but at least sometimes, some of us would feel very pleased if we had not to labor for the meat that perisheth. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Perishable food. Now we eat that food every day. And I hope we thank the Lord for it. Did he say here that we should not work? That we should take all of our time to proclaim the gospel, to distribute what we have, and then just leave everything to the Lord and let him supply everything and we do nothing? Doesn't look like. At least that would be contradictory with the other verses. In contradiction with the other verses that say that if anyone does not care for his own, he's an infidel. So, the Lord was giving to the people the teaching that would channel their attention and their understanding in the right direction. If we take these words precisely as we read them in their, so to say, physical meaning, then the following verses that he told us, we would have to have physically too. Bread and wine, flesh and blood. And hopefully no one is taking that physically. Obviously the Lord didn't mean that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. You see, in the times of old, when the people received the law, that was their spiritual food. And when they offered sacrifices, if they did it in true faith, in godly fear, they experienced the nearness of the Lord. In one of the psalms, or rather in quite a few psalms, we can find how fond they were of those moments when they were gathering together in the temple of the Lord. When they were together celebrating the feasts of the Lord in the city of Jerusalem. The Lord was there with them, and yet hardly anyone could understand what was the meaning of those sacrifices. So many different kinds of sacrifices, and so many different instructions how to offer each sacrifice. So many similarities also. And all the sacrifices together signified the offering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, what they had, according to the law, were the signs or a shadow of that which was to come, the true bread, bread of heaven. Watching our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and later on receiving, after they received the understanding of that message, that example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ filled their hearts and their minds and their lives. And the other people that were not disciples of the Lord yet, when they saw the disciples of the Lord proclaiming the gospel, and when the other people watched the way the disciples lived, they could see that they were the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they were Christ-like. In spite of their human shortcomings, weaknesses, insufficiencies, mistakes, still the grace of God made them similar to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Long time before the law was given by Moses, in Genesis chapter 14, we find one of the early signs, symbols of that bread of heaven, bread and wine. Genesis 14, 13 and on, I read, "And there came one that escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, Lot was taken captive, Abram armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them, the attackers, unto Dan. And he, Abram, divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom the king of Sodom escaped when the attackers came. And now the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, the leading king of the kings that attacked the cities of the plain, which were Sodom and Gomorrah, Adma, Seboim and Sibor, five of them, and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. And then we read that Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And Abram gave him tithes of all that they had recaptured from the enemies, all that they captured that was in the possession of the enemies before this attack, one tenth of all of that was given as an offering to the king of Salem, Melchizedek. And that became a law, a custom, a tradition, that one tenth of all of their income would be an offering to the Lord for the Lord's service. And later on that became the law, in the law of Moses. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, we read a lengthy explanation about Melchizedek, but really not only about Melchizedek, but of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. In the Psalm number 110, verse number 4, we find this Melchizedek mentioned again. Psalm 110 starts with, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of thy holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth." These are highly poetic words, and each one in itself has a deep spiritual meaning, and all together tell about the Lord being the high priest. Verse number 4, "The Lord God the Father hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." A psalm of David. So we see that this mystery was known as a mystery to the faithful ones in the Old Testament. And then we find at the end of at least three gospel books that last day of Passover, when the law was being fulfilled and the grace of God was being revealed, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did something similar to what Melchizedek did to Abraham. Our Lord took bread and blessed it, gave thanks to the Father, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Eat, this is my body that is broken for you." And then he took the cup and gave it to them after thanking the Father, and said, "Drink ye all of this cup, for this is my blood, the blood of the New Testament, as is shed for you. This do in remembrance of me." And it seemed to me, beloved, that the disciples did exactly that. That they shared celebrated that memorial of the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was such an important thing for the disciples to do it and to practice that regularly that those that did understand the meaning of this teaching would make special preparation of their heart and their mind before they would receive these signs of the new covenant, the covenant of body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was so important to the early believers of our time that we have a number of songs in the songbook that tell about that. And one of the songs says that the body of Christ is that bread, and that all the members are grains in that bread, united in the body of Christ. The meaning of this feast or memorial was so manifold, so deep, and so important that the enemy, the evil spirit, was attacking on that side, trying to pervert that from the beginning, trying somehow to make the believers negligent about that, and to use that feast not to humbly approach the throne of God's grace, but to puff up in pride. And so we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the instruction that the apostle has written to the disciples at Corinth, chapter 11, verse 16 and down, he says, "But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not to the better, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper." See, they had changed the original customs which were given or which they received in the instruction
of the apostle. For in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And then he gives the right instruction. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread, these are the words of the apostle, explaining the meaning, or at least some of the manifold meaning of the Lord's Supper. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And this is what the Corinthians did. And then he says, For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. They seem like lifeless. No spiritual activity in their faith. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now in the verse number 29 I read, For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In the verse number 33, But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. Let not each one be his own, but all together the possession of the Lord. I believe, beloved, that this feast, this commemoration of the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, was observed by the disciples many times. And perhaps especially before some of them departed to proclaim the gospel to distant regions. Perhaps they shared this when they were not sure that they will meet one another and see one another's face on this earth anymore. Or perhaps when they were gathered together after a long time, they rejoiced. And then again, shared these signs of the New Testament. And so, their life, their spiritual life, was
In the Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and on, we read, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Now, this is far from all the struggles of this life. This is far from, far more and far above all the signs, whether it be in the Old Testament or the New Testament. This is the fulfillment of all the signs, the full significance of the Lord's Supper will be experienced in that glorious kingdom of God. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters. So the bread of life will forever be the food and the drink of those that, by eating the bread of life and drinking his blood, drinking that wine of his teaching, received here on this earth life that will never perish. The few words that I shared with you are only a touch of the surface, of the depth of this Word of God. And it is the prayer of my weak heart and the desire of my soul that the Lord would bless His Word and teach us much more, even more than the words can express, that message that goes from the Spirit of the Lord directly to the hearts of those that believe, so that we indeed may have that life of Christ, living in Him, living for Him, and sharing the joys of heaven in the midst of the sadness of this life on earth. Just as we read in that Psalm 110, "Rule in the midst of thy enemies." May the Lord fill our hearts, illuminate our minds, and bless His holy word, that His word as a living testimony may go forth, proclaim the day of grace, and herald the day of judgment, so that by our life, our conduct, our manners, our desires and our labor, with our life and living, so to say, we may be a faithful imitation of our teacher, our master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom belong honor and glory forever. Amen.
Amen.